In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. This morning we hear three stories, two people, and one calling. It's obvious to all from the beginning of the story that when God is talking about the poor, he loves the poor very much. And God considers the poor his people. But for us, oftentimes, the poor become a political football. Everyone thinks they know what the poor needs, and their organization, their group, their party, or whatever, is going to do the best thing for the poor. But suffice it to say that from time immemorial, from the beginning, God has always considered the responsibility of the poor to be the responsibility of his people. So it is our responsibility. But there's more going on in this story than a simple parable about how important it is for us to care for the poor. The first clue we see in this is, first of all, we see that Christ mentions this rich man. He does not say anything about the rich man. No, doesn't give us his name or his background. He tells us that he's dressed in purple. He tells us that he's dressed in fine linen. He tells us that he feasts sumptuously every day. He tells us that there's a poor man that's laid at his gate. And this man is clothed, if in anything, clothed in sores. And he lays there just wishing for something to fall from the table. But it's interesting to me that the Lord puts purple on this man, because purple at that time was the color of royalty. And we talk about royalty in a way that is kind of abstract for us. And the privileges of royalty are kind of abstract for us. But at that time in the Roman Empire, if somebody was wearing purple and they didn't have the right to do so, even possessing the purple cloth without having the right or permission to do so, because it was considered such a priceless item and so much the privilege of the ruling class, of the rulers and emperors and governors, if even that low, that you could be put in jail and even executed for improper possession of purple, because it might indicate that you were going to be part of an insurrection to try to overthrow the existing government. So purple indicates that there was something royal about this man, this rich man. The next thing the Lord says about him is that he's wearing linen. Now, in the ancient Hebrew tradition, the clean white linen was the fabric out of which the ephod was made, which was the robe of the priest, the basic robe of the Hebrew priest. So in the religion, there was the white linen symbolizing the priesthood, and there was the purple symbolizing the kingship. So we could look at this not only as a rich man, but as a spiritually rich man. So the first story we saw, I said we were going to have three stories. The first story we saw was of a rich man and a poor man. Now this next story is about a spiritually rich man. This is a rich man that was one of the members of the house of Judah, the tribe of Israel, the tribe of Jacob. And these people had all the blessings of God. They've been called by God to take these blessings to the people, to take these blessings throughout the ages down to the people, to let all people be saved, let all people come to repentance and to knowledge of God. Now, I don't think I need to tell you that the historical facts are pretty clear that over and over again, as God would give them time and time and chance again, they failed at this calling. But now Jesus, standing on earth in Jerusalem, just after the beginning of what we call the Christian era, he looks at the people, the religious leaders, and he sees them as the kingdom of priests that God called them to be, the priests that would lead the people to God, the kingdom of priests of royal priests that would rule the people on God's behalf and guide them toward God. Now, this second story didn't turn out so well either, because what happened? This kingdom of priests failed in their calling, and that house died out, and their temple was destroyed, and God called someone else to take his place. The third story is also about a kingdom of priests. The other kingdom of priests, we're told by St. Paul, is the church. We are a kingdom of priests. We feast royally, daily, from the feasts of the prayers and of the sacraments of our Lord's own body and blood. We have open access to all the scriptures, the teachings of the Holy Fathers, the truth, the guidance, and the traditions that fill up our lives and guide us on the right path. But do we take these for granted a little bit? I think that a lot of times we do. Do we fulfill the calling that this kingdom of priests has, not just of having these things, but also passing them on, sharing them with the world? God's first kingdom of priests, the Hebrew nation, failed in its calling. But we, the church, we must constantly be reawakened and renewed to our calling, to reach out, to not just be and enjoy and come to church, but also to take that which we have received, the abundant and incredible grace of God, out with us to our workplaces, to our homes, to our groups of friends, to everyone that we spend time with, everywhere we go. Because this grace was not meant for us to keep, for us to sit and feast sumptuously and enjoy. Because there are the spiritually impoverished around us. And I'm sure that some of you, maybe even in your own families, know people who are spiritually just like this poor man at the gate of the rich man, full of spiritual wounds, filthy. I know we know people outside of maybe our family in circles of friends that are, again, also full of wounds, spiritual wounds. Maybe we even know some people who are poor. We already know what to do with them. That's the start of this whole story. We know we need to help. That's our calling. But our calling is not just to the spiritually poor, not to the physically poor, but also to the spiritually poor. And if we ourselves are here this morning and we find ourselves spiritually poor, drink deep. Remember who you are in Christ. Maybe you haven't been to church for a long time. That's okay. You can drink deep of Christ here. Fill yourselves with him. Let him fill you up and fill you with grace. Become faithful to him. And then you will be part of the solution. You will be ready to fulfill your calling. And maybe some of you come all the time, but haven't been taking the opportunity to fill yourselves up with the grace of God that we can take here in our prayers, in the Bible studies that are provided for us. Take advantage. Dig in. Many of us serve, but we also need to eat so that when we serve, what flows out is grace and peace and love, not just hard work. Hard work is honorable to God too, but that hard work should always be infused and empowered with the peace and the love of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we had just two men, a rich man and Lazarus. We had one calling. And we have three stories that illustrate that calling. The first one on the surface that illustrate that we must be naturally helping the poor, not be the one who sits there and doesn't help. But then there's the two spiritual meanings. Let's not be like the Hebrew people who left their calling and kept it all for themselves, feasting sumptuously, not leading the world to God and to Christ. nor let us be a church that is a kingdom of priests. Royal priesthood, a holy nation. Let us not just be a holy nation. Let us be a holy nation of priests that really bring people to Christ, that reach out, that take the grace with us. We don't just shift gears and become the person we always are in everyday life. That every time we come here, every time we go to prayer, every time we turn our hearts to God, we come back renewed and transformed. Let us be that people. Let us be that final, that last kingdom of priests. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God.